Turn in God's Word to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. I want us to turn for a few moments to verse 18. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We have here a number of exhortations, particularly found from verse 16 down to verse 22. And this is the third of a trio of our responses to God. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. A little bit later on, we will have other matters, our response ourselves, how we respond to things. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. But in verse 18, we have that exhortation, in everything give thanks. Well, we can be very good at receiving, but sometimes the thankfulness can be somewhat difficult. Children, they love Christmas. They love receiving presents. But you ask them to write a thank you letter, and I can testify this myself as a child. It was a painful experience. We are not very good at giving thanks. But as we look at verse 18, we find a phrase that can easily trip off the tongue. We can say it, we can recite it, it can be stored in our memory, but it is a very serious challenge to us as we look at it as to whether we are keeping it and whether we are obeying this particular exhortation. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So as we look at this phrase, in, it means the midst of. It doesn't mean that look at a situation and when it's all panned out and if it's a positive thing, that we can then say, okay, it's good, and we can then give thanks. But Paul here is exhorting the church at Thessalonica that in the very midst of a situation, whether it may appear good or whether it may appear bad, in that very time, to give thanks. He also says in everything. And so nothing is left out. And we don't find a particular thing that Paul is causing the people to praise for, but in everything, items, situations, trials, difficulties, problems, we are to be a people that in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, is to be a people that are praising. And so we are to be those that give thanks, offer praise, bring our gratitude, be those that worship, those that come with that heartfelt thanks. And we see that in verse 18, that we have a great motivation, a serious motivation. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so for the child of God that has been saved, they've had their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, they are now a child of God, they've moved from that darkness to light. This is what is required of a Christian. This is what a Christian ought to look like. Someone that in every situation can give thanks to God. And so it's not an optional extra. It's not something that we can do when everything else has been done, but really it's something that we must put into work. It is something that we must strive at to make sure that we are following this exhortation. It can be very hard to have this kind of mentality. But it's surprising that when you start to try and apply this, how liberating it can be. Now, a number of you, well, not many of us here tonight, but we're all going on a holiday, or we've been on a holiday, and you see those dreaded motorway signs that there's traffic jam, severe delays, and that can make your heart sink, and you can feel overwhelmed. Well, when am I ever going to get there? Perhaps you've got children in the back, they're starting to get fractious, you're miles from the services. You think to yourself, well, what is there to be thankful for? Well, it's always better to be in the traffic jam than the one that's causing the traffic jam. And so when you start to reevaluate your thinking, you can suddenly realize, well, I have something to be thankful for. That we're not the ones that are being carted off to hospital. We're not the ones that have got life-changing injuries as a result of a smash on the motorway. And so when you start to do this, you can start to realize how blessed we are, how God in his providence has kept, he's spared, how he's delivered. And suddenly your situation that was full of depression, it's full of causing us to feel downcast and overwhelmed, suddenly we can have that joy in our hearts. The Apostle Paul, when he and Silas were in prison, they praised God in that prison cell. And there was a great benefit to it. Not only were they being encouraging themselves and the Lord, but they also saw the Lord mightily at work that night with that great earthquake and that salvation of that Philippian jailer, his family and his whole household. And so this exhortation is not something that Paul writes to other people, encouraging them to do it, but he himself would not do it. He would be able to, in that difficult trial, give thanks and to sing praises to the Lord. So what are the things that we can be thankful for? Well, we can split this into the temporal and the spiritual. In the temporal, if we consider our five senses, we have sight, we've been going through the creation record. We can think about all the beauties that we can see, all the wonders that we can enjoy. We can think about the way in which we can see family members, we can see those that we love, we can see where we are going, we can see dangers that we might be able to avoid. All these things are a great blessing. Hearing, listening to music, listening to birdsong, having communication with other people, not feeling isolated. All these are wonderful blessings of God. Touch, tenderness. Even pain can be a blessing because you realize that something is wrong and so that you can then go and get help for it. The smell and taste. Oh, we can smell wonderful things. We can try different foods. We can enjoy different flavors. And we can think about other things like family, health, housing, comforts, rest, warmth, freedoms, liberties, opportunities that we have, experiences that we can enjoy. And in a temporal sense, we have so much to be thankful for. We perhaps think to ourselves, we're very busy, we're overwhelmed with work. But just imagine if you didn't have that work, how much more difficult would life be? Well, we know these things to be true. And so on a temporal level, we can give thanks for so much. The old hymn writer, Oatman Johnson, in 1897 would write this: when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, wealth can never buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. So amid the conflicts, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And so we can give thanks for all the blessings that we receive from our God. But when we think about the temporal, there's much to thank God for. But when we think about the spiritual, and Paul is here writing to believers, how much more can we give thanks to God for? Or we can thank God that he is God. We can think about his power, his wisdom, his glory, his holiness, his justice, righteousness, love, mercy, faithfulness, the way in which he is unchanging, eternal, sovereign, the way in which all of his attributes are perfection indeed. We can think about his mercy and his tenderness, long-suffering and compassion, the way in which when he makes a decree, it is fulfilled. All of his commands and his ordinances, they stem from a righteous heart. And then all of his promises, they are sure and certain. And for the Lord's people, we can rejoice that our God is ever present and he knows all things. We can think about the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking about the one who would leave the glories of heaven, how he would take human flesh, how he would live amongst us, how he would be obedient and live that life that we fail to live. We can think about his sufferings, the death that he offered of himself, the way in which he was that sacrifice, he was that scapegoat, how he would say on the cross, it is finished. All these things we can rejoice in. And why he came, it was a mission of mercy. And we can rejoice that our Saviour is no longer dead and buried, but he's raised, he's ascended, and he is coming again, as the church at Thessalonica were being reminded of. Oh, we have one that intercedes. We have one that represents. We have one that is our advocate. We have one whose blood cleanses us from all sin. We can think about the Spirit of God. This should cause us to rejoice, to be filled with praise. When we think about our natural condition, what we are like without Christ, what we are like in Adam, yet the Spirit of God comes. He meets us in our deadness. He is the one that brings that work of regeneration. He is the one that applies that blood of Christ. He works in us that work of sanctification. We have that help in prayer. He is that giver of faith. He works and helps us in mortification. He brings help in the battle. And in times of revival, he will come and he will refresh. These are things that should cause us to be filled with praise. In everything, give thanks. When we consider our salvation, we step back and consider that we have been elected from before the very foundation of the world, not because of any good in us, But God showing his grace to that undeserving, that mercy of God extending down to us, how much we should be thankful for. But then as we think about the blessings that we have by being united to Christ, not only are we saved from hell, we know that from the Gospels, how in John 3 verse 16 that there is that deliverance from being perished, but we're also saved to heaven. We're not just brought as servants, but we're made kings and priests. We have that justification, that legal standard placed over us that says not guilty. We are adopted into the family of God. Therefore, we can call our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Father. We think about our inheritance and our hope. Ponder heaven as to what we shall experience and what we shall enjoy. And the great revelation that we have in Scripture that tells us what heaven is like will be very small compared to the reality of it. All the signs and symbols that speak of God's abode, they can only portray so much for us. How wonderful we are. What a blessed position we are in. And so for the child of God, they have every reason to give thanks. And even though calamities may come, even though a trial may come upon us, that to the world would seem a disaster, the child of God can rejoice because on the things that matter, on the things that are eternal, the things that are lasting, we are blessed beyond compare. The Apostle Paul would say and would reflect upon the sufferings that he has endured, and he had reckoned that the present troubles could not be compared to the glories that await him. For the child of God, they can consider the providence of God, the dealings and the deliverances. Joseph, he could come to the end of his life and he could look back and testify that God meant it for good, even though evil came upon him. And so we have these great encouragements, these great blessings, these great motivations for praise. We can thank God that we have that ready access in prayer, that we do not have to come through a set means by an earthly priest coming when the doors are open, but we can come at any point, at any time with our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God from cover to cover. It is the inspired Word of God, and it is there to guide and to lead. And how much this should encourage and strengthen us when we consider the church. Oh, what blessings we have by being joined to a company of the Lord's people. We have that fellowship. We have that support. We have that encouragement. There is that ministry. We very much are having a little foretaste, although flawed, so often is the case. But how blessed is the fellowship that the Lord's people can have. And it is a foretaste of heaven. Well, throughout Scripture, it has been the exhortation to give thanks unto God. And Paul here says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, if we were to go through the Scriptures, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, I've probably got here about 30, 40 references where it mentions praising or to praise. This is something that the people of God should be shaped by their praising. 2 Samuel 22, verse 50. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. We could take another passage, for example, in Psalm 18. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 30, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 35, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalm 136, and this refrain comes all the way through this psalm. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And Daniel, we read in Daniel 6 verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house And his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In the Gospels, we have a similar phrase coming out. We find, for example, in John chapter 6 and verse 11, Jesus giving that demonstration of giving thanks for the food. Jesus took the loaves. When he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And we could go on and we could go on and we could go on. The exhortation to give thanks is something that comes all the way through the Word of God. Well, what stops us being thankful? Well, sin is obviously a major hindrance to us being thankful, because when sin is present, it blinds us to the goodness of God. We perhaps become self-absorbed. We perhaps become overwhelmed with our own strength. And perhaps it can lead us to say, well, has God said? Is God working for my good? Pride is another thing. We can start to see ourselves as the center of the universe, that everything must revolve around us. And if we find situations happening that seem to go contrary to that, we can perhaps wonder, well, what is God doing? Has God forgotten? And we perhaps become bitter. We know that the flesh is so often weak. It's fragile. It's prone to forget. That hymn that I quoted, count your many blessings, name them one by one. How is it that we can remember all the times that somebody may have slighted us, all the times an unkind word has been said, but we can't remember the encouragements that we have? Our emotions can stop us being thankful. This is a state that the Lord's people are to be in, is a state of thankfulness, a state of praise. But sometimes our emotions get in the way and we perhaps don't feel like it. We perhaps feel down. We perhaps feel anxious. Perhaps feel overwhelmed. And the devil will certainly come and he will attack. It is no mistake or no careless reason why we have in this fifth chapter an exhortation to putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We are to put on that spiritual armor because we have an enemy that will want to rob us of our joy and of our praise. And if he can turn our thoughts away from God and onto ourselves and onto other things, then he will be having a victory. So what are the benefits of a thankful heart? Well, our perspective is changed. In Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, we have the psalmist there asking himself as to why is he cast down. Let's read Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, and deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. There the psalmist takes himself to task. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. And so the benefits of a thankful heart often cause us to change the perspective. And perhaps a situation that we see as difficult and cumbersome and overwhelming, we can see the blessing and benefit of God in it. If we are those that have a thankful spirit, we are fulfilling the reason why we've been created. We've been made in the image of God for the glory of God. Another thing it will do is to keep us from complaining, to keep us content. And we've looked at contentment on a Tuesday evening over the last or previous few weeks. This thankful spirit will keep us looking to heaven. And there we will be taken up with endless praise, eternal praise, for all that God has done for us. So the challenge comes, do we have a thankful heart? Are we those that in everything give thanks? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, let's pray that the Lord would make us more thankful. The Lord would set our affections right, and that we will be taken from being self-centered to be centered more and more on Him. May we be more objective in our praise to God rather than only responding when we subjectively feel like it. But whatever situation we find ourselves in, however bad, however difficult, however depressing it might be, consider Him. Consider Christ. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 2. And so if we're ever tempted to not feel that way disposed of praising and thankful, just consider verses 2, 3 and 4 of Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Consider Him. And if we all spent our time looking for the positives, looking for those things that we could give thanks for, it would not give much room for the bitterness to creep up, to become overwhelming, and to gain roots in our lives and amongst us. Well, may the Lord help us. And may we as individuals and a church be a people that praise God because we have so much to thank Him for. May the Lord bless His word to us. Amen.